Hey guys, Trevor here with the E-Commerce Paradise Podcast. Today I'm going to talk to you about what it takes to become a digital nomad and what the lifestyle is actually like, the good and the bad. So I'm really excited to talk about this today because I've been doing this for the last few years now and I continue to live this kind of lifestyle. And there's many reasons why, and I'll get into that in the episode. If this is your first time listening to the podcast and you want to become a digital nomad, you live that lifestyle, travel the world, and have an online business that provides you an income as you go so you can keep doing it as long as you want, well, you can get my free training on how to start a high-ticket dropshipping business. It's a free mini course as well as a niches list with the 99 most profitable high-ticket dropshipping niches. High-ticket dropshipping is a pretty awesome business model, and I've been using it to fuel my travels for quite some time now. So if you're interested in getting my free course from my 15 plus years of experience with e-commerce and 10 plus years doing high-ticket dropshipping, you can get it at ecommerceparadise.com/mini-course. All right, guys, so being a digital nomad is pretty awesome. You get to experience new places, meet new friends, experience new cultures and food and different money, different sights, smells, languages, and attitudes. It's pretty cool, and it comes with a lot of awesome things. It also comes with a lot of tough to deal with things and a lot of not so good things. So we're going to address some of that in this episode as well. So if you want to become a digital nomad, the first thing you kind of have to think about doing is, fixing your lifestyle to get rid of all your stuff. So if your lifestyle includes a lot of shopping and buying a lot of things, just know that every single little thing you have is stopping you from becoming more free and becoming more happy. You might think that things will bring you happiness, but really in the end, things don't bring you happiness. It's experiences and relationships that bring you happiness in life. Having money to have more experiences and having rich friendships and rich family life is going to make you the wealthiest person, not just your stuff. And definitely having a lot of stuff, especially nice things, might make you think that you appear rich or make you think that you appear cooler to your friends or to the people that you want to impress. Maybe you don't even like them, but in reality, they care a lot less about you and your things than you might think. And it usually actually has an opposite effect. They actually like you less because of all the things that you have. So be careful when you're, being a show off or something like that. I've been guilty of this in the past, and I learned, the hard way that when you tell people about your accomplishments or you show them you're nice this or nice that, unless they truly love you, oftentimes they're going to have a feeling of resentment towards you. So be careful with that. And the other thing is, when you have stuff, a lot of stuff, and I'm speaking from experience because I used to be a shopping addict. I used to buy things on Amazon all the time. But when you have a lot of stuff, what ends up happening is that you make excuses for not doing more in your life because you have a lot of stuff. It's like, oh, I can't just pack everything up and travel because I have so much stuff. Well, that's an excuse. Really, you could sell all that stuff. You might not get what you paid for it, but you can get some money for it. Or you could put it all into some sort of a storage locker, a U-Haul or whatever storage facilities near you, and put it all away, pay a cheap monthly fee so that you can have your stuff if you ever wanted to come back home and start traveling the world. Traveling the world is very difficult if you have like a expensive rent to pay and a car and stuff like that. So those things kind of have to go if you want to travel the world all the time. So, traveling the world, you're going to end up staying in places that cost about the same money or more than what you paid for rent back home. So of course, you probably want to get rid of whatever rent you're paying for back home first. You can break your lease if you really need to, just by, talking to your property management company and explaining to them that, you want to do this and you want to get out of your lease and you're willing to help them find a person to take over the lease for you. And if they're okay with that, great. If they're not, then just explain to them that unfortunately they don't have much of a choice, but that you'll do your best. And they might try to force upon you that you have to pay the rest of your lease contract, which is absolutely not true. And the truth is they're just not going to probably spend the time and money it takes to take it to a small claims court anyways. And plus, if you find them to take over somebody to take over the contract, why would they go through all that hassle anyways? They'll probably keep your deposit of course, but that's about it. So just be willing to give up whatever deposit you paid for, you know, your rental, and you know, get out of there. Whatever deposit you paid, you know, if you're living like Los Angeles, normal place costs like $1,500 a month. Paid a $3,000 deposit first and last month. It's pretty normal to get in there. And you're like, I don't know, a 2-year lease or something like that, or a 1-year lease. And you're like 6 months into it, and you finally decide, you're like, you know what, I want to get the heck out of here. You can do it, and just chalk that $3,000 up to, you know, your deposit on living a digital nomad lifestyle. It's totally okay to do that kind of thing. You can make excuses for doing something awesome, just like you can make excuses for not doing something awesome. All right, and you know, your car, if you have an expensive car, or if it's just a point A to point B kind of car, commuter car, you probably are going to want to sell it, because having a car, especially in somewhere like California or something like that, it costs a lot of money just to own a car in the first place. Now, it is possible to like drain the fuel tank and put special liquids in your oil and take it off the tires and put it into storage somewhere, or just pay somewhere to keep the car for you, and kind of hibernate the car, sort of. You could do that, but just keep in mind that you're still gonna have to pay registration fees, you're still gonna have to pay some level of insurance, and if you have car payment, of course you'll still have to pay the car payment. But if you sell the car, you might be able to get at least close to what it would cost you normally to pay off that loan anyways, right? And I'm assuming your car is, you have a loan on your car, and you can use a service like Shift. If you look up Shift on Google, Shift is a car selling app where they actually do the work for you to market the car and to find a willing buyer, an able and willing buyer, and then actually they sell the car for you. You don't have to do anything, and they get a higher price than you probably would if you tried to sell it yourself through Craigslist. And of course, a much higher price than if you try to just trade it in or sell it to a dealership who's going to pay wholesale for it. So they still get you retail price for your car. Shift is great. I used them twice, actually, back in 2016 when I, you know, decided to become a digital nomad, come to Southeast Asia, and it worked awesome, worked brilliantly. Basically, what they do, they come out, they double check your car. You have to apply on their website first. They come out, they double check your car, they make sure everything's right, and the guy has a contract for you. You fill it out, you hand him the keys, and he drives off. And yeah, it felt a little bit weird at first to just hand my keys of my car over to some guy along with the pink slip. I was like, okay, well, if this guy really wanted to, he could just steal my car right now. But you know, it's a big company, they're trustworthy, and I read on the reviews and their website and all that stuff, and yeah, it turns out it's legitimate and it works great. I sold my car for the same amount that the loan cost to pay off on the second one. The first one I didn't get quite as much just because I had a high interest rate on the loan, but it was still pretty close. And I only sold it for a couple $1,000 less than what it would cost to pay off the loan in the long run, which is fine with me. So I was excited about that and no longer had to have a car to worry about. So now I could just, you know, go and travel. And, this was backed too when like Uber and Lyft and Grab, which is in Asia, all these ride sharing services really started to get really popular. And now like they're so popular and all over the world that you don't even need a car anymore unless you want to, just for luxury, and you can afford it just for luxury. But you can go anywhere in the world and hire a luxury car to take you around for a really cheap price, especially in a major city where everything's really close. I actually really enjoy walking around because I work so much on my laptop. I have to be sitting while I work. I don't have like a stand-up desk or anything like that. And even then, I don't really like stand-up desks that much. They're kind of uncomfortable. So I like to walk around a lot, and it's a great way to get exercise. It's a great way to keep my blood pumping and keeps me healthy. And while I walk, I like to drink a lot of water. And so I go and I buy like the biggest thing of water I can find, or just fill up like a big water bottle, and I go for a nice 10 or 20 minute walk, usually twice a day, once in the afternoon, once in the evening. And I really, really love walking. You get to slowly explore cities and see things that you wouldn't have normally seen it from a car or even from a motorbike or a bicycle. Bicycle is my second favorite mode of transportation besides walking, because you can go faster and it's great exercise and the wind is in your face and it's really fun. It's a little bit faster. depending on the city and the environment, I really love skateboarding as well. But I need to have usually some kind of a cruiser board with bigger wheels to get around town, maybe even a longboard, or these days an electric skateboard, because electric skateboards are really popular and great quality. I also love motorbiking, and around Southeast Asia, you can ride a motorbike anywhere out here. It's so much fun, and they're really cheap as well. You can rent them for like $5 or $10 a day, and they're little 125s or 150cc, or, you know, you can get bigger bikes too, 250cc, 500, whatever, but you can get these little scooters and ride them around anywhere. They go fast enough. You know, the city streets out here, no one really goes over, you know, 50 kilometers an hour or something like that. I don't know in the States what that is exactly, but it's not that fast. It's maybe 30 miles an hour or something like that. So, you know, everybody goes slow enough out here that riding a little scooter, you can get around anywhere. And, you know, even if you go on the freeways and the tollways and stuff, really doesn't matter. So motorbiking is awesome. I'm really glad that I got a motorcycle license before I came out here. And I would recommend that you guys do the same, because there aren't really motorbike training courses out here. It's really weird, but I've looked them up and they're hard to find. Maybe there is some stuff out here. I don't know, because I already got my license. So I didn't really need to find out. But the motorcycle training courses in the States, especially the one I took in Los Angeles, was one of the best and most renowned. And basically, they just have you driving around a parking lot for a really long time, practicing your turning, doing your signaling, making sure that you know how to swerve and, you know, stop and brake and speed up appropriately and all that stuff. We learned on a little 150cc. And so that was perfect, because then I had all the training I needed that when I came out here. And it was a little scary at first, but when I came out here, I was able to ride a motorbike. And it was scary because I was still new at it, and I had my wife with me at time when I came out here, and she was on the back, and she kind of, you know, scared, so she's like squirreling all over the place looking around, you know, and it made the balance on this little tiny 150cc go all over the place. And I'm scared because the traffic out here is so much different than it is in the States or in big cities. Have you ever seen videos of Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam and the motorbiking out there? It's pretty wild. Like, the motorbikes just flow, like traffic just goes. There's no stopping, there's no signaling much, there's not a whole lot of like giving people the right of way or anything like that. It's just flowing like fish in a river. And so, you know, but once you get, it's scary at first, but once you get used to it, it's actually really easy going, and it's actually a lot more safe and comfortable than it is in the States. Because in the States, what you find is a lot of drivers that don't really care about motorbikes, because there's a much smaller amount of motorbikes to car ratio in the States, or, you know, even in major cities around the world, as opposed to Southeast Asia and Asia in general. There's just a much higher motorbike to car ratio out here. So it's like, I would say 50-50, or even way more in cities like Ho Chi Minh, or in Bali, Denpasar, Bali, and, you know, Bangkok. There's tons of motorbikes. And that's just kind of a factor, I think, of the overcrowded cities and, you know, the culture, whatever, but it's just kind of normal out here. So yeah, definitely learn how to ride a motorbike before you come out this way. And if you do want to become a digital nomad, Southeast Asia is not the only place to come. I mean, you can go all over the world. South America has some amazing places like Medellin, Colombia, and obviously Mexico is huge for expats and digital nomads. Central America has, you know, some awesome places like Costa Rica and Nicaragua that are popular. And, you know, Brazil has some amazing cities. The only thing I don't like so much about Central South America is that it's not quite as safe as Southeast Asia. I can say that sort of, but, you know, of course there's safe places and there's unsafe places anywhere you go in the world. It's just that generally speaking, there's a lot more crime out there in that side of the world than there is, you know, in Southeast Asia. So, you know, dangerous crime, like scary stuff, a lot of drugs and stuff like that, and cartel stuff. Out here on this side of the world in Southeast Asia, drugs are very, very, very illegal, and so you don't have as much of that happening. And also, I think that there's this kind of a chilled culture because of the religion that's out here. Religions that are out here mainly are Buddhism in Thailand, and in Indonesia it's people that are Muslim and Jewish, mostly Muslim out there. Philippines is Christianity. And China, of course, has a mix. But Buddhism is a really chilled culture, and that's what I like about Thailand so much. That's why I came out here. Chiang Mai is one of the best cities, small cities, to start your digital nomad journey. It's where I started. Came out to Chiang Mai, and kind of opened my eyes to Thailand and how beautiful and chilled it is and how fun it is and how cheap it is. So, you know, that's what got me addicted to Thailand was Chiang Mai. But the only problem with Chiang Mai that I had is that the level of entrepreneurs that are in Chiang Mai is generally lower than the level of entrepreneurs you'll find in other big cities that cost more to live in. And so I was doing so much, like our stores at the time were doing over 50,000 in sales a month. And there just wasn't anybody else that was at our level, unfortunately. And so even though I masterminded with a bunch of people, only a few of them, you know, really I gained anything from it. I was giving so much value to everybody I met out there. You know, people were hitting me up to see if they could work for me and stuff, and I gave them jobs. You know, I hired a podcast editor out there, and you know, there's a lot of cool people that I met that are actually doing big things now too, which is awesome. Over time, it just, you know, I've been doing this stuff for a long time before I ever started traveling, whereas a lot of people, they start traveling and then they try to figure out how to do this stuff. And yeah, you can do it both ways, but my recommendation is to figure out the business stuff first before you start traveling, because one way or the other, you're going to have to figure it out. And it's better to do it before you have to deal with everything else, because becoming a digital nomad, the biggest downside to it is figuring out your living situation. Because of course, every week or month or every few months, you're going to have to figure out, number one, your visa requirements for whatever country you want to stay in. And Thailand has a bunch of different visas for Americans and, you know, whatever, wherever you happen to be from, Canadians, Australians, you know, the British. And so you have to know what you can, like how long you can stay in this country for. Like I could ramble off the visa stuff for Americans pretty easily. There's a 30-day visa exemption that you can get. So you don't even have to have a visa to come here. If you buy your plane ticket in, you buy your hotel and your plane ticket out, you're set. You can come for 30 days, it's good. But you cannot do that more than 3 times in a 6-month period, or they will give you trouble for it. You'll either not be allowed in, or you'll have to pay off the immigration person. One time I went in, I had done this like 5 times already. I was getting away with it. And I thought that nobody cared by that point. And then I came in and I arrived at like midnight, and there's just a cranky girl behind the counter, and they looked at me with my tattoos and they were just like, oh, this guy's no good, you know? And they came up with every BS reason in the world to not let me in. And eventually I just had to tell them, like, look, I know what you guys want. You want money. I have money. How much do you need to let me in? And the guy took me into the back room and he told me 3,000 baht, which is about $100 US. So I went to the ATM, pulled it out, put it on the counter, and he signed a little piece of paper for me, and I walked away into the country. But after that, I realized, like, I don't want to deal with stressful situations like that anymore. Nobody does, really, especially you're trying to do business, trying to enjoy your life. You know, stress can affect you really bad. And when you don't realize like how much it affects you until you start dealing with a lot of other stresses, like having to figure out a new living environment, having to find new and make new friends, having to figure out where you're going to eat, having to figure out where you're going to sleep, you know. All these things are stress factors. When you start to compound stress factors onto each other, multiple stress factors, depending on the type of person you are, you might get sick, or you know, you might be too tired. You might be unproductive, and so you have to keep in mind like all these things, because constant travel is not easy. It's exciting and fun, but it does take more work, more time to plan things out. Now consider also that you probably aren't going to have as many like, you know, crazy responsibilities when you are living this kind of a lifestyle outside of your business. You really have a lot more time to spend chilling out. And, you know, the good thing about this kind of a business, high ticket dropshipping, any kind of e-commerce stuff, is that you can outsource your work to VAs, and that frees up your time like crazy. So you don't necessarily have to be working all the time. If you're making good money, you know, outsource, hire a virtual assistant to run your customer service and sales for you, hire another one, you know, hire freelancers to grow your business so you don't necessarily have to be doing all the nitty gritty work all the time. And, you know, you can sit back and enjoy your life, or you can focus on growing the business more. It's really up to you at that point. That's what I've done a lot. And especially because I'm out here in Southeast Asia, you can't just stay out here and expect to be able to run a high ticket dropshipping store all by yourself that operates in the States, because the time zone's completely opposite. So do you really want to be up at 2, 3, 4 in the morning answering customer service calls, trying to do sales calls, and have the energy to do that? Probably not. Nobody really likes working a graveyard shift unless you like working the graveyard shift. I know I don't. I like to wake up early and get out and do cool stuff. Okay, that's what I enjoy doing. And going to bed before midnight, you know, is part of that. But midnight is kind of when the world starts waking up on the, you know, West Coast and all that. So it's difficult to maintain a healthy life and be getting sleep deprived all the time. So it was kind of just forced upon me. But at that point, I had to hire a VA to do customer service. And now I do. And I have multiple VAs, at least one for each store doing customer service, and then freelancers that are working on my agency, my building my businesses more, helping me in different facets of my business. And that's really all I need. I still can do a lot of work, like with content marketing, affiliate marketing, membership sites, courses, mastermind groups. I can do all that stuff because evening time, like late evening time, is morning time back home. So I run my group coaching calls in my time, the evening. Back home, it's in the morning, so it's perfect for everybody else. Some people like the opposite, so I run some group coaching calls in the morning my time. Back home, it's late evening. That kind of thing. So you just have to kind of structure your business around your ideal lifestyle, but you have to figure out what your ideal lifestyle is. And that can be harder to do than you might think. You might have all these like dreams and aspirations. Oh, I want to go do this. I want to go do that. But the funny thing about the way our minds work is that once you accomplish something in your life, doing it again after that starts to become boring. It's weird, but yes, maintaining one thing really starts to wear you out. It's, you know, it's the same thing that happens when you get that new car. You drive it the first time. It's this amazing feeling, the smell, the excitement, feeling cool, all that stuff, right? And then after a week, it's not quite as cool anymore. After a month, it's not quite as cool anymore. And after a year or two, it's even less as cool because now the car is a little bit dirty, definitely doesn't have that smell anymore, that nice new car smell. And, you know, it's getting a little bit older. It's getting a little bit more boring. Now it's just become a, you know, a point A to point B vehicle. Life is also like that. Experiences are like that. So I've found myself in these really strange bouts of depression sometimes while traveling a lot and becoming a digital nomad, where it's a constant battle between me wanting to maintain the good stuff that I know is good, like keep having fun with that. Like, just for instance, I actually love Bangkok. It's a lot of fun. There's so much stuff to do. I know all these awesome spots. I know all these great people. And I have so much fun here. But of course, here's the thing. You keep doing those things over and over and over again. They're just not the same anymore. Okay? It gets a little bit boring. And you need to like spice it up. You need to find new things in your life. It's like anything. Relationships are the same way. You can't just do the same things every day in a relationship or it will get boring. You know, sex is the same way. You can't have sex the same time every time or it's going to get boring. So you have to think about ways to keep your life fresh and keep figuring out new things. You know, you'll want to get back into the habit of maintaining a daily routine, but you need to break that routine sometimes to not get burnt out. Okay. So it's a balance. It's a delicate balance. And with traveling, it's hard because we love daily routines. We love to get into that mode of, I know what I'm going to do today. I'm going to go to the coffee shop and then I'm going to work and then I'm going to eat food. I'm going to eat this exact type of food from this place. And then I'm going to go to the park and, you know, exercise. And then I'm going to go back home or whatever, you know, then I'm going to, if you're in, you know, Thailand, I'm going to go get a massage for an hour. And then I'm going to go eat some, you know, tom yum soup. And then I'm going to, you know, whatever you do, ride a bicycle or go skateboarding or, you know, swim in the pool or something like that. So routines are good because you're less stressed out, you know exactly what's going to happen, and you're happier and you're more productive because of that. But just keep in mind, routines can make your life really boring. So always be kind of on a weekly basis. Usually this is a great way to do it, especially if you're a digital nomad, is be looking stuff up that's new and go do new things. One guy that I really, really admire is Riley Bennett with livingthatlife.tv. So if you haven't heard of him, go to YouTube and just type Riley Bennett or Living That Life, and you can find all of his digital nomad vlogs. And I've done a bunch of interviews with him back and forth, and he's just a really cool dude because, number one, he works out a lot. I think fitness is one of the keys to happiness in life. If you work out constantly, you are way happier, and you are also much more confident in yourself, and you're much healthier in general. You're much more calm as well. And health is wealth, people. So just keep that in mind. And fitness is one of the key aspects to health. So he works out every day. He's also one of these digital nomads that does cool shit all the time. He goes and finds new cafes all the time. He finds new places to work from. He meets up with cool people. He goes to new cities all the time. He's like unafraid of new experiences, which is pretty awesome because, look, let's admit it. We all have this like fear at some level of new experiences, right? That's why we go back to our daily routines and the places we know and stuff like that. It's because we know that the risk of having a new experience is that you might be let down. You might fail a little bit. You might not have a great experience, and that might not be compared to the top best experiences you've had somewhere else. So you have a choice every day. You can either go and have a new experience and take that risk of it being bad, you know, and you'll definitely have to keep an open mind throughout it, because you're going to have a lot of these like half good, crappy experiences, especially when you're traveling. You're going to be disappointed by restaurants. You're going to be disappointed by massages. You're going to be disappointed by, you know, excursions, tour companies, hotels. And you just have to keep an open mind and be calm about it and understand that, hey, this stuff happens, and that there's a lot of like not so great things in this world, whether it be people or whether it be places or something like that. And just know that it's just another one of those. There's a lot of them out there. And just be calm and let it pass. You figure out a better solution and move on. If you freak out too much, you're never going to have a good time with this stuff, because there's just so much of it that's always going to happen. What really like can hurt you in the long run is when you're digital nomading, traveling around a lot, is if you tend to stress out about little things too much, you're not going to have a good time. You've got to learn how to avoid stressing out about little things. Just take it easy. It's just a little thing, you know? It's not like a life or death kind of a thing. You can get through it and you can be happy, and you'll be a lot happier when you travel and you're calmer and stuff like that. Study agnostic beliefs and study Buddhism, study Taoism, and study just the ability to not give a fuck. I think that's one of the best things you can possibly have in your life, is just to not care too much, you know, to not want things so badly. I think the whole minimalist attitude really does develop such a better lifestyle, such a more calm way to live, because not only minimalism in the materialistic sense, which is amazing, that's what I'm talking about, selling all your stuff and traveling, having experiences and developing relationships more than anything, but minimalism when it comes to mindset as well. Okay, so like not wanting the stuff in the first place will help you avoid not even going out and getting it at all, spending the money, because you just don't really care. Okay, not giving a fuck will save you a lot of money in the long run. And hey, look, like I said, I am guilty of that. I've been a shopping addict. I've been an addict of a lot of different things throughout my life and wasted a lot of money on a lot of different things, you know, and that's fine. And I think it's important to recognize your weaknesses, recognize what your failures were. And as long as you're trying to work on it and grow from it and make a better life, you know, and treat people well and make a difference in this world, I think that's what's important. That's because we're all going to make mistakes in life, okay? And we're all going to make the same mistake twice, maybe three times, four times, maybe many, many times, okay? But what we can do is we can at least recognize that, and we can work towards improving ourselves, okay? Self-improvement's important. And it's really important if you want to do this stuff for the long run, because if you're not into self-improvement, guys and gals, you're probably just not going to last very long. Doing this stuff, you'll come out, you'll get stressed too much, something's gonna happen, oh, I didn't like this, I didn't like that, blah, 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 and then you're gonna think everything is like that, which is absolutely not true, okay? Everything is not bad. There's a lot of good out here, too. Amazing good all over the world. You have to focus on seeking out the good throughout all the bad. And this is going to be the same in every facet of your life and business too. You know, you're going to throw a lot of things at the wall to see what works in your business. A lot of them won't. Some of them will. And you got to keep sticking with those good ones that do. And keep seeking out mentorship to find out what more good things are, okay? That's the important key too. But yeah, digital nomads lifestyle is is something that I love. It's something that I grew up admiring, and it's something that I continue to admire and appreciate, especially when I meet other nomads. I feel like we're on this like cloud that nobody else barely knows about, you know, cloud nine. We're up in the sky somewhere, floating around in space, enjoying the heck out of our lives in paradise while everybody else is stuck in this like rat race. And yes, I might have to work too. Of course I do. I work a lot, but I work on things I'm absolutely passionate about. I've made my business my passion. Okay. I work on my high ticket dropshipping stores. I make a lot of money. I was out hanging out with a friend last night at the bar drinking, and throughout the entire night, I made like $7,000 on one of my high ticket dropshipping stores. Not to brag or anything, but I'm just saying I'm working a lot, and I'm always training my team members so that they learn more, so that they can do the work for me when I'm not. And that's the reward for a lot of work. Now, like I said, I love what I do. So what I do now is I teach what I do. And you guys consider something like that in your own life. Like, you don't have to just do work and then just chill, okay? You can always become a teacher. Becoming a teacher is the easiest thing nowadays. And yes, it's hard at first, but if you practice teaching, it's actually a lot of fun and super fulfilling in the long run, because you can make a huge difference in people's lives, and you can make a lot of new friends that you might not have made otherwise. Teaching is just one of the most absolutely incredible things you can do. Now, outside of teaching, there's a lot of things I do too. I do agency work, so I do services for people in the industry. I help other dropshippers with a lot of things. I build stores for them. I add products for them. I optimize products. I optimize ad accounts. And I manage ad accounts, things like that. And that is great as well, because, hey, I'm really good at doing it. And I can train my team to be really good at doing it, which is perfect, because then I can give other people the same skills, the same results from the skills that I have. And I don't necessarily have to be doing that work all the time myself. So agencies are an amazing way to have a good location independent business and travel the world. And along that same vein, if you know code and you can develop code, or you know somebody who codes and can develop code, working on software that automates what would normally be done manually is an amazing thing as well. And we're in this world where everybody uses tons of software all the time and they don't even know, and they're paying monthly for it. And so depending on the niche that you want, that you think that you can get into, you can create software, let's say, to help you what you're already doing, and then sell that same software to the public. I'm actually working on that right now, so I'm super excited about that. Me and a buddy are actually gonna go into business to build software and sell it, and it's just gonna be a really, really fun journey. It's something I've always wanted to do. I just never really, you know, knew how to do it, and so I didn't take action on it as much as I could have. But, you know, finally someone actually came to me, said, "Hey man, like, what you're doing is awesome. I'd like to work with you to build software." And, you know, that's just when you got to say yes to life. You got to say, "Heck yeah, I'm totally down. Let's do this. Whatever it takes, I don't care. I know I want to do that. That's one of my long-term goals in life." So just, you know, do it when God presents things to you. You know, like, you'll have opportunities show up in your life, especially when you're networking a lot and helping people out and creating content, that just, like, go with it, you know. A lot of people say that digital nomad life can be very lonely at times, and I'll absolutely agree with that. But you can also have a great time and make tons of friends digital nomading. It's really just a choice you have to make. You have to make a choice to go out of your way to hang out with people. Don't do it too much, because it can become quite distracting from getting work done for your business, but you should do it on a regular basis, at least a few times a week. You should go out and hang out with friends. I love exercise friends. Those are some of my favorites, because exercise is healthy. And when you do it with friends, you do it way more and way harder, and you have better results from it. So, like, you know, gym friends are great. Skateboard friends are my favorites. And doing things where you're socializing and you're exercising at the same time, that's some of the best things you can do. So make good workout buddies. And the other thing is, network with people in your industry. So you're doing high ticket dropshipping, you're selling a certain product, it's definitely in a certain industry or whatever. So go within that industry and network with people more. And you can go to trade shows, or you can go to other kinds of industry events and things like that. It really depends on what you're selling, but network with people within that industry, because it's going to make your work a lot more fulfilling, and it's also going to get you some amazing connections that you might not have otherwise gotten. You can network online all day long, but it's not the same as when you network in person. When you network in person, it's absolutely 100% different. You make really, really deep, meaningful relationships with people. And, you know, there's so much more goodwill that comes out of that. So focus on networking in person. And being a digital nomad, the awesome thing is you can do this all over the world. There's events now that happen in Bangkok, Thailand, in Barcelona, Spain. You know, Affiliate World is one of those great examples of an industry event for affiliate marketing and e-commerce and stuff like that. There's a lot of e-commerce events all over America all the time. So definitely check those out. They do cost some money to go to, usually between $500 and $1,000 on average, but usually they're well worth it. They might be scary to go to at first. You might think, oh my God, I have to meet people. But here's the thing about that, is that once you get there, it's actually kind of fun and exciting. Just don't get so scared about meeting people. Nobody's going to hurt you. Nobody's going to bite you. Our little monkey brain in our head tells us to be afraid of like new people and what they're going to think of us. But if you could just get over that fact of what people think about you, because they're probably not thinking much about you at all, then you'll be a lot friendlier and you will actually be a lot more interested in them and their lives, and you'll show more interest. And that's what it takes to make friends, is like showing a really deep interest in their lives and what they're doing, and what they know and who they know, because that's what people want. They want to feel appreciated. They want to feel respected. We all want to feel these things from our peer group. And giving that to other people makes you an amazing person to them. So if you want people to like you, you first got to go and like people. Okay? And don't just do it on Facebook. Do it in real life. And if you're interested in getting started with digital nomad stuff, I think the key is having this whole foundation in place before you really get started. So you got to have your home, all your home stuff taken care of, get out of your lease, get out of your car, all that stuff. And then from there, you got to get your financial stuff taken care of. So like one of the hacks that I figured out is if you live in America, you can actually, if you're going to be traveling the world, you can actually move everything, like all your financial stuff, to a state that doesn't charge state income tax. That'll save you some money every year. So if you live in California, for instance, you know, you might as well go spend some time in Texas, or you know, you can go to Washington or Wyoming, or Florida is a great one. Any of these states that don't charge income tax, you can actually buy a lease agreement from like a virtual mailbox service or virtual office address or something like that, and you can use that to go and get a state driver's license and register to vote in that state. And once you do that, then you're technically a resident of that state. And when you file taxes, you're not gonna have to file taxes in that state because they just don't charge income tax, which is great. So consider doing that before you go. And that'll help to save some money on taxes. The other cool thing about being a digital nomad is if you actually stay out of the states for 11 out of 12 months, then you don't have to pay any kind of income tax on your first $110,000, I think it is. You got to look it up online to verify that, but it's around $110,000 income. So no federal income tax on your first $110,000 saves you a lot of money. You still have to pay Medicare and Social Security. You're not going to be able to get out of that. It's like 15%, I think, or 10 or 15% of your income, I think. So but what you can do to minimize that, especially if you start growing your business a lot, making a lot of money with it, is you can form some sort of an S-corp or a structured business where you can actually pay yourself a small salary every year, like $15,000 or something, via payroll. And on that $15,000, you'll pay Social Security, Medicare. But on the rest of your income through dividends, you won't have to pay that because it'll be taxed at the passive income rate. And if you're a digital nomad, up to $100,000 of that minus the 15 is going to be tax-free completely. So it's a pretty cool way to hack taxes and not have to pay as much. You're still going to have to pay your fair share, obviously, but you can minimize that and you don't have to pay as much. I definitely recommend getting some kind of a accountant to file your taxes for you to make sure you're filing your taxes right. And, you know, doing your own bookkeeping is easy enough, but if you don't want to do that, yeah, just hire a bookkeeper too. And make sure that you do a good job at being responsible of your spending habits, keeping a budget and all that as you travel. Because traveling, it's really easy to rack up, you know, a lot of expenses. You got hotels, you got flights, you have transportation, you got restaurants, you got bars, massages. And depending on your lifestyle choices, especially in Southeast Asia, there's a lot more things you can get into. So it's just a matter of like what you're into, what you can afford, and being responsible about your spending habits. So make a budget every month. Tell yourself, hey, I've got this much money to spend. Pay yourself first so you have like an account to spend from. And once that money's gone, that money's gone. And you need to, you know, live a little bit more responsibly after that. So that's the best way to be on a budget, is just literally force yourself to do that. Another good way is to just write it all down on paper and keep track of it. So every single week, just know how much money you spent in different categories and have a good idea, and then plan things out a little bit better. So instead of getting caught out being hungry, you have to eat now at a restaurant, you could, you know, plan things out so you can eat here first, so you know you're going to be hungry, so eat first at a cheaper place, and then you can be better later on, or pack snacks to go, that kind of thing. So with that said, everything's a lot cheaper on this side of the world. Living expenses, generally speaking, are super cheap, especially in a place like Chiang Mai or Bali. If you get out of the touristy areas, you can live like a local, like a middle class local. Meals are at least a fifth of the price living back home. Rent costs can be a fifth of the price living back home, or you can go ahead and pay a similar amount as you would back home, but you'll get like 10 times the amenities. So it's absolutely incredible that way. Everything else is just absolutely cheaper living in Southeast Asia. It's pretty mind blowing. And plus, you know, your just money goes way farther, and you can have really fun experiences out here that you normally can't really have back home. So it's just how it is, you know, it's just part of the lifestyle. So you can really come to enjoy it. I will say that, you know, this lifestyle isn't for everyone. Certainly not. Some people just really, really like having a home base. And sometimes that's how I feel too. You know, I want to have a home base for the next month or two or three, just so I can like bang out a big project that I'm working on. And then I'll go travel for the summer or something like that, and then come back and have another home base for like 3 months. So oftentimes I will do that. Having a home base is certainly a lot cheaper than traveling all the time. And it's also, you know, it's easier to deal with when you're working a lot, because you have a daily routine and you have your work spots and faster Wi-Fi. When you're traveling, it's always such a pain in the butt dealing with Wi-Fi that sucks at hotels and, you know, cafes. Wi-Fi sucks, and you got to go here, you got to go there. And, you know, what do you do when the Wi-Fi sucks? You got to pack all your stuff up and, you know, go somewhere else. And it's expensive, you know, to do that all the time. So yeah, trying to work and travel constantly is definitely a pain in the butt, can be a pain in the butt. So I recommend having a balance of like getting your work done while you have a home base, and then traveling around and taking time off and really spending time enjoying your life while you travel. Because if you're working all the time when they travel too, you're really not enjoying that travel nearly as much as if you would if you were actually treating it like a real vacation. That's the other thing. You know, if you're like me and you're like an entrepreneur and your mind's always thinking about business, that's okay. Just find a way to like a good creative outlet to handle that. You know, I have my podcast, YouTube channel. I love to make content. That's a creative outlet for me. So instead of having to like talk to friends that don't really care about what I'm doing, about what is on my mind, I'm always writing down notes, and then I just create content, and it kind of gets that energy, that sort of pent up, built up energy out of me in a really, really healthy way. And I can create content and people love it and enjoy it all over the world. So that's an awesome way. So find something similar in your life, because you're going to need it. If you're an entrepreneur and you're traveling a lot and you're like going to be lonely sometimes, unless you're traveling with your significant other, which is pretty popular, but have some kind of a creative outlet, whether that be music or art, or, you know, podcasting or photography or videography, YouTubing. Just make sure you have a creative outlet that's outside of your work, so that your mind isn't always thinking about work. It's really, really important. Making exercise part of your creative outlet is actually awesome too. You know, skateboarding for me is that kind of a thing. Skateboarding is very creative, and it's also very demanding physically, so it's great for both. I can't do it all the time because it's very painful. It's a very painful sport. The board can hit your legs, or you can fall down and, you know, hurt yourself. So I can't do it every day. In fact, I usually do it maybe two or three times a week at this point in my life. I'm 32 years old, so I'm not like 18 anymore. I can't skate for 5 hours at a time every day of the week. But having that kind of thing in your life where you exercise and have a creative outlet is actually amazing for your health and well-being. Because you got to think about it, you know, like traveling around a lot, like I said before, it's just something you have to think about more, is all your living things and what you're doing throughout the day. So don't travel too much, but do travel and have fun with it. I think the best thing that you can possibly do is just really try your best to relax and have a good time and not to get stressed out while you're traveling, because that's like the worst thing you can do, is have a business issue happen when you're trying to have a good vacation and you freak out because of like some little thing that's going wrong. That's one of the worst things, because then, you know, life just seems like so terrible. And why would you want to live a life like that? You know, that just, that's not a good life to live. You have to be a rock, you know, to be solid within yourself, so that you can deal with anything that comes your way. But I won't lie, living in the digital nomad lifestyle is absolutely incredible. I love doing it, and I probably will do this for the rest of my life, just because I care way more about living an amazing life than I do about anything else. You know, I make my life about business. I also make my life about helping others, and that's part of living an amazing life for me. But I'm not going to try to settle down and live in a certain city to make somebody else happy. That's really not what I'm into. I want to live the kind of life I want to live, and I'm okay with the negative consequences that will come with that, which means some relationships won't, you know, work out. You know, I won't see and hang out and have like a solid group of friends all the time. You know, that's okay with me. I'm cool with that. I can meet up with people throughout the year. You know, friends, just like anything else in life, you know, you hang out with the same person all the time, gets kind of boring, and your relationship gets burnt out. So you got to freshen it up and have new friends sometimes. And it's really cool being a digital nomad. You'll make friends all over the world eventually. So you'll be able to go to Europe and meet up with people, go to Southeast Asia, meet up with people, go to, you know, South America, meet up with people. And that's just how it goes when you're traveling and networking all the time. That's why I love going to these industry events, because I'll get to meet people in my industry, and they're all over the world. And, you know, some of them I actually become really good friends with, and I can meet up with them when I'm in different parts of the world. Or maybe I'll even go to the part of the world they're in just to, you know, hang out and have a place to explore, because I know somebody out there. And that's kind of an in-way to another country and another city and other experiences, just knowing somebody. Like, they'll be willing to be a tour guide for a day or something like that, just because, you know, we're friends and stuff like that. So it's a really cool way to see the world. So my biggest tip for sure is build a solid foundation of being a digital nomad before you get started with it. So have an online business, have all your stuff sold or in, you know, storage or whatever, and be mentally prepared for the challenges that are to come ahead that you're going to face being a digital nomad. There's a lot of them, and really it's all just mental stuff. It's dealing with situations, it's problem solving, and being open-minded and calm enough to handle things and being patient with other people. And yeah, just be aware of like the dietary issues you're going to encounter when you travel to new cultures. Of course, they eat different food. Americans, we usually eat a lot of different types of cultures' food. But you have to understand, American Chinese food is very different from China Chinese food. American Thai food is very different from Thai food in Thailand. So coming out here and eating the food of the actual culture is an amazing experience. Just be aware that like you might get stomach viruses and, you know, weird bugs, and you'll get sick. It's just kind of part of the experience, you know, and you got to be prepared for it. You know, that's why having good friends that you can call on that have already been out here doing this for a while is a great way. And YouTube is one of the best friends I've always had, because I can type anything into YouTube and find the information that I need from somebody out there that's already done it and been there. So use YouTube to your benefit. And Google, of course, will tell you information from a number of blogs as well on anything you need to know. So use the internet and search engines as your guide, in a sense, to traveling the world. Highly recommend doing that, obviously. And just, you know, take your time with it. You don't have to travel super fast. I think that one of the biggest mistakes I've made in the past is trying to travel too quickly. So like going to one city for a few days and then the next one for a few days, it just doesn't seem like you ever really get a chance to fully experience the city unless you're there for like a month or two. Okay, so people like this thing called slow travel. Slow traveling is really good because you get to experience more of the culture. You get to make some friends. You actually get to kind of get into like a little routine in the city, and you get to experience things a lot differently than if you're just staying for a few days, going on a tour or something like that, and, you know, going to all the tourist stuff, doing all like the tourist trap things. That's what tourists experience. You know, if you want to really experience life, you have to become a local. And to become a local, you've got to stay somewhere for at least like a couple weeks to a month. And once you get to that kind of local feeling, it's an awesome feeling. And you can be a local anywhere in the world. People are generally accepting of any new person that comes in anywhere in any city. You just have to be willing to be a friendly person and be interested in them and be outgoing and, you know, to some level be extroverted. You can still be an introvert Certainly you can still be an introvert and make friends. It's totally fine. You just have to get rid of that fear of making new friends and just be open to saying, hi, how are you? Where are you from? You know, what's your name? And, you know, how long have you been traveling for? And then the conversation will open up from there. You'll get to know a lot about them and just continue to dig and dig and dig and kind of peel the onion away at your relationships. And you get to know people and you get to ask them all sorts of questions about their experiences. And that will open up your mind to new experiences and having new experiences in your own life and being more comfortable doing them is other people that have done them and been successful and had a good experience doing it. So definitely helps a lot to know people. So that's kind of the biggest thing. And the next thing is once you get out here, you know, maintaining it, like I said, it's just all about finding a balance in life. A lot of people come out to Bangkok and they just go crazy. They party like crazy. And I'm like, yeah, that's great if you stay here for a week or something and you're going to leave after that. But if you're going to be here for a long time, you can't party like crazy. It will wear out on you. It will drive you nuts. It will make you unhealthy. You have to take things slower. You have to be a calmer daily liver. You know, party on the weekends and on the weekdays, go and exercise and get work done. It's just like any other life, any other place. But having a consistent lifestyle is going to bring you many more rewards than if you try to just go and party all the time. And, you know, just because you can doesn't mean you should. So you have to become mentally strong and know that, okay, down the street's a bar that I like to go to, but I'm not going to go tonight because I know I want to do work instead. I want to get to this project to the next level. I can go next week. That bar is still going to be there in a month. It's still going to be there in a year. I can go whenever I want. Some people, you can't do that, right? Because you're mentally weak or whatever. So you have to, in that case, actually physically put yourself in a different location where that's not even possible. So if you know there's a lot of, like, you know, distractions around you, go somewhere else where there's not a lot of distractions. And you'll probably be a lot more productive. You might not be as happy at first. It's going to be tough, but you'll be more productive in the long run. And once you do that, you'll probably thank yourself later for it. And then you can go back to the place and party and stuff. But it also goes, you know, with that is that you want to avoid getting burnt out. Don't work too much, especially when you're traveling a lot. Take time off. If you do a lot of work one day, you're a digital nomad. It's okay to take a whole day off during the week if you want to. You know, you're your own boss. You own your own business. So don't ever feel like you have to be constantly working all the time. You can take days off whenever you want to. You know, you can party on the weekdays and take the weekend off, or you can work all weekend and take the weekdays off. You know, set your own schedule. Try to be disciplined, but at the same time, don't push yourself harder than what you know you can handle. Okay, I've been very guilty of making this mistake many times in my past, especially when it came to college. I did really bad in college when I first started because I was trying to take like 4 classes a semester and work a full-time job. And I was taking classes I wasn't really interested in, so I flunked out of a lot of them. And I kind of had to like take a semester off, rethink my purpose in college at all. And I thought to myself, okay, well, the only reason I want to go to school right now is to learn entrepreneurship skills and build my own business so I can get out of this shitty day job. And so I started going to school and taking marketing, sales, business 101, you know, accounting and export-import classes, international business, economics, things like that, that I knew were going to help me build a business and understand business and marketing and the way the world works and money flows. And so that really helped me because I was now taking classes that I was really excited about. And I knew myself. I knew I can't take 4 classes a semester and work a full-time job and stay healthy and you know, stay productive. So I started taking, I think it was 1 class a semester at first, and I got an A that semester. I was like, all right, well, this is the secret, is taking these classes slower. So instead of getting an AA degree in 2 years like people normally did, it took me 8 years to finish these business classes. I didn't ever get my AA. I dropped out of college after I was done with all the business classes they had to offer because I knew at that point I had a business already that was making me money. I remember going to class one day and getting a $10,000 order on my high-ticket dropshipping store. And this is back in like 2012 or something like that, 13. And I was freaking out because I had just made $1,000 net on that order. And I was sitting in class and I was like, you know what? Why am I even here anymore? You know, I was sitting in a class that wasn't business related. I think I was I forget what it was. It was English. You know, to finish your associate's degree, you have to get English and history and chemistry and all this stuff, physics. I was like, I'm not really that interested in becoming like a journalist or whatever. I'm going to write affiliate blogs and content for my website, but that's about all I'm interested in. They didn't have any copywriting courses at college. It's not really a thing you take in college. Unfortunately, it really should be. But so I said, screw it, I'm done. So I just dropped out of that class and all the other classes that I was taking at the time to get my AA degree. And I just decided I'm going to go 100% full on with my business from now on, and learn from online courses and other people. And that's exactly what I did. And I'm really glad that I did, because I continue to do that today. And that's exactly what I need for success. I can go to college, per se, anywhere in the world at any time just by watching an online video course. It's not the same as learning in person. It's, you can get distracted way easier, you know, all that stuff. But if you watch the course and actually take action and do what they teach you how to do and try to get better at it, that's the key to success with any course. So anything I was doing, I would always learn it, do it, and then try to do it better after that and relearn and stuff like that, and talk to mentors and coaches. And it always worked, and it continues to work today. So online courses is where I learned from, and I now teach online courses as well. So yeah, it's pretty awesome, this lifestyle. I can highly recommend it if you're, you know, the type of person suited to live it. If you're not, then just don't do it. You know, if you're too old, you have a family, whatever. If you have excuses, that's fine. I mean, I know people that are in their like 60s and 70s that are digital nomads. I know people that have big families that are digital nomads. Yeah, they do have to travel a little bit slower, and they'd have to, you know, find home bases and establish routines and stay in places that the whole family likes, not just that one person. So there's more challenges, right? But hey, anybody can do this, okay? You can do it. I can do it. If you really want to, just do it. Nobody's holding you back. Nobody's going to punish you. You just have to make the choice and just jump from that cliff, you know? Hopefully the water's deep enough and you don't get hurt. And if you do get hurt along the way, just figure that, okay, chalk it up to having an experience, to knowing that that doesn't work, and fix it and do it better next time. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to wrap it up. If you are a digital nomad, hit me up and I'd be glad to network with you. I'm on Facebook. You can add me at Trevor Fenner, or just type in facebook.com/Trevor James Fenner. I'm also on Instagram, instagram.com/Trevor Fenner. And you can email me at trevor@ecommerceparadise.com. So yeah, if you're thinking about becoming a digital nomad, you want more advice, you can message me anytime, email me at any time. I'm happy to help with all sorts of things. You can also read my blog at ecommerceparadise.com. I'll be working on a lot of great travel guides for digital nomads and helpful stuff there as well. There's a lot of great podcasts about digital nomad life. I like the Tropical MBA podcast myself. And that's one of my favorites that I always listen to, because those guys have been doing it for a long time. They have a lot of great, interesting perspectives on this lifestyle, good and bad. And they have a lot of great guests on their show as well that have been doing it for a long time. So I can recommend that. And yeah, I mean, life isn't all about business, guys. You know, get a lot of good travel and experiences in there while you're young, or even if you're older, you know, do it now. Don't wait, because you never know when life will end, and you might as well enjoy the heck out of it every single day while, you know, you have it. So yeah, go out, live that lifestyle, and I will talk to you in the next episode.